Me to James, the fourth chapter. You have sound? Good. James, the fourth chapter. In dealing with the will, I want to focus tonight on how to break the will of the devil. James 4. Verse 7. The only way to break the will of God, to break the will of the devil from over your life and allow the will of God to reign supreme, is you have to submit yourself to God. Here we see in James 4, 7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Other words, when you submit yourself, what it means to submit yourself, we're going to get into that more. But you have to submit yourself. When you submit yourself to God, yield to him, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you don't submit yourself to God, there'll be no resisting. Satan will overcome you every time if you don't submit yourself to God. So what it means, we're going to define what it means to submit yourself to God. One of the ways you submit yourself to God is that you must renew your mind. When you renew your mind, Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When you renew your mind with the word of God, you're actually taking on the thoughts of God. Go over to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Just so happened to be the same coordinates, the seventh verse. We just left James 4 and 7. Now we're going to Proverbs 4 and 7. It says, wisdom is the what? Principal thing, or the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So now, Solomon, when he was writing this, it says wisdom is the principal thing, right? So in all thy getting, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. So wisdom and understanding can't be the same thing. If he tells in all our getting, get understanding. Now, we're going to define the word understanding tonight in a way that you probably never heard it defined before. Actually, we're going to use the word itself and break it down. Most of us think, listen to me to that, most of us think understanding is clarity. Or you say, oh, I understand that. Or you might say, somebody takes time to explain something to you, you say, oh, I understand. But there's a process that happens to cause you to get clarity. Understanding is not clarity. Understanding is the process you get to clarity. Let's break the word down. Understanding. Under what? Stand. So what you're really saying, if you understand something, is that you're willing to take your thoughts on a subject and submit it to another thought process. So if somebody comes to you and tries to explain something to you and you don't quite get it, but they keep talking to you about it, then you say, oh, I understand. What you're saying is, you've now taken your thoughts on a situation and you decided to submit it to their thoughts. Mm-hmm. So you understand. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing what's happening now?
Yes.
So understanding does not mean clarity. It leads to clarity, but what you're saying is I'm going to take my thoughts on a situation and submit it to somebody else's thoughts. Mm-hmm. So this is how there's no subject or no discipline that you cannot understand. So people say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. No, what you're saying is you're not willing to take your thoughts and submit it to their thoughts. So there's no such thing as I can't understand calculus. What you're just simply saying is you don't want to take the time. When you say I don't understand, you're just simply saying I don't want to take the time to take my ignorance and submit it so that I can learn something. Are y'all seeing this? So when it says submit yourself unto God, what they're saying is you want to take your thoughts and bring them under subjection. That's why I say wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom and all thy getting, get understanding. What it's really saying is you can get the wisdom, but if you're not willing to take your thoughts and submit it to the wisdom of God, it ain't going to do you no good. See, it's just like somebody giving you advice and you don't agree with it. If you don't agree with it, you're not going to do it. So watch this. When God says, so if we don't submit ourselves to God, then it's impossible for us to resist the devil. Because in our own mind and in our own mental fortitude, we're not strong enough to resist the devil. It's been proven. It was proven. It was proven in the very Garden of Eden. We are not mentally matched on our own with the devil. Because he doesn't play fair. He is a liar. His game is deception. He's a deceiver. So what happens? He went to Adam and Eve and lied to them about something they already had. And so because their thoughts were not submitted to God, they were no mental match for the devil. Because you got to remember, it had been a space of time when they hadn't spent time with God. Because the Bible says when God came looking for them in the cool of the day. So that means he had to go look for them. So that means they was avoiding him. So that means that their thoughts were not submitted to God. So they couldn't resist the devil. They only had one choice, to believe what the devil was saying. Because they had not been spending time with God. Are you seeing this? So the only way that your will is going to be strong enough to override what Satan wants you to believe is you're going to have to submit your ideas to God. You're going to have to submit your thought process to God. That's why God said, come, let us reason together. When you renew your mind, what you're doing is you're sharpening your imagination, your emotions, your will, your memory, you're sharpening all of those with the word of God, because your will is going to come and get information from each one of them to make a decision. So when you submit your thought process to God, you renew your mind with the word of God, you are allowing God to sharpen the other aspects of your mind. So when your will comes to get information from the other four parts of your mind to make a decision, they will be sharpened by the word of God. Is this making sense? Mm-hmm. See, is the reason why most Christians struggle with this is because they don't really understand, they don't really get it, they don't really understand or want to submit their thought process to this. Because of ego, because of pride, you know, I'm my own woman, I'm my own man, I think for myself. Got no problems with that. But you ain't no match for the devil when you're thinking on your own. Listen to me. You're not a match for the devil when you think on your own. Because why? The devil is in the spirit world. And so if you don't use your God-given access to the spirit world, Satan gonna outsmart you every time. So this is why Solomon began to say, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. Other words, stand down. There's some things I just won't ever understand. I can't understand homosexuality. I don't understand it. What I'm really saying is I'm not submitting. I'm not submitting my thoughts. So no matter what the world is to come to me and tell me about tolerance and all this, listen, I'm not understanding it. The Bible says it's a sin. So the Bible says it's a sin. I'm not going to submit my thoughts to, I'm not going to understand. I'm not getting no clarity on that. Are you seeing this? So when you submit yourself to God, when it says to submit yourself to God, what it's saying is you have to take, other words, you might think you have it figured out, but you have to take these thoughts and take them to the Word of God and allow God to check these thoughts out. Yes. And if His wisdom say do different, then you have to take these thoughts and make them stand down. Yes. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Make them stand down. Understand the wisdom. Other words, whatever God is telling me to do, what I thought I was going to do, I'm going to stand down. I'm going to make this, I'm going to put these thoughts and make them get under what God is saying. That's submission.
Yes.
Are you seeing this? That's when you are empowered. The Bible says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Other words, when you take your thoughts and you submit them to God, it may look to everybody else that you're weak, but that's when you're at your strongest moment. Everybody thought Jesus was defeated on the cross. They seen him hanging on the cross. They thought he was defeated. But what Satan didn't realize is that Jesus dying gave him entrance into the gates of hell to get back everything that was stolen from us. Jesus submitted his thoughts. He understood his purpose. He got clarity on it. Are y'all getting this? So when you submit, if you don't submit yourself to God, you will not be able to resist the devil. Once again, let me tell you something. You are not mentally matched against the devil. Not by yourself. Whenever you try going a while, you know, some of us all done it. Go a while without reading the Word of God. When you go a while, things start slipping, they start going a little haywire. Why? Because you're not submitting your thoughts to God. When you don't submit your thoughts to God, that means all those thoughts that's been shooting through your mind is lying resident. And nothing's there to hold them accountable. See, the Word of God, go to Hebrews 4 and 12. The Word of God hold your thoughts accountable. Hebrews 4 and 12. The Bible says, for the word of God in Hebrews 4, 12 is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What's the next word?
Piercing
to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Apostle was sitting with Apostle today. He said that people have to stop peeking at the Word of God and begin to allow the Word to pierce them. When he said that, I began to pray about that this afternoon, what he was telling us, and God began to bring me back to the samurais, old Japanese warriors. Mm-hmm. A samurai, when they would get to a point where they couldn't fight anymore, they was in a battle and they got to a point where they couldn't fight anymore, they would do what's called fall on their sword. Mm-hmm. You have to get to a point in your life where you will fall on the word of God and allow it to pierce you and kill all of you and let Christ live. Yes. That means what it means to kill you. That means get rid of all your erroneous thinking. You have to let the word of God kill every erroneous thought that you have. You have to let the word of God hold accountable every thought that you have. Bring it under subjection. Other words, make it submit, make it yield, understand. Understand. Another word for understand is yield. When you yield to something, you're able to get clarity on it. If you keep in your stubborn ways, then it's hard for to get clarity on something. If somebody trying to give you directions to go a certain way or trying to give you a better way to go, if you're not hearing them and you got your mind made up, this is where I'm going and this is how I'm going to go, then it's hard for somebody else to get better information to you. Are you seeing this? So Satan, that's why Satan allows us to get prideful. This is why Satan loves for us to have an ego. Jesus said it plainly. Jesus said, except you become as a little child. What it means a little child? A little child, a submit. A little child, if you tell a little child something, they'll believe you. If a child has their mind made about something and you talk to them long enough, you can convince them to do otherwise. In other words, they understand. They stand down. They yield their thoughts. They get clarity. Is this making sense? Once you begin to renew your mind with the word of God, then your will would automatically begin to align with the will of God. It's automatic. Why is it automatic? Because when you're renewing your mind with the word of God, you are bringing every imagination that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. When you casting it down, what you're doing is you're filling your thought process with God's ways of thinking. When you fill your process with God's ways of thinking, you automatically will be aligning yourself with the will of God. It ain't rocket science. You ain't got to be trying to figure out, am I in the will of God? When you begin to renew your mind with the word of God, you will easily fall in line with what God wants for you to do with your life. Easy. It ain't going to have to be, you're going to have to fight for the will of God. You're going to have to fight to try to figure out the will of God. When you spend time with God and his word, you will fall into his will. You will fall into his will, and the only way Satan will have access to you is if you don't spend time with God. When you don't spend time with him, when you don't take time to pray, when you don't take time to find out God's mind on a situation. If you don't take time to find out God's mind on a situation, listen to me, internet. When you don't take time to find out God's mind on a situation, that gives Satan every opportunity to come give you his mind. That's all that happened to Adam and Eve. They did not get God's mind on that tree. All they got was Satan's idea about the tree. Oh, you ain't gonna die. Oh, you gonna be just like God if you eat off that tree. When the fact of the matter is what? They were already. And watch this. God was going to responsibly teach them about good and evil. Oh, God ain't gonna teach them about it. Yeah, he was. You know how he was? Because if he was gonna send them into outer darkness, that's evil. Yeah. You got to know what you're looking for. You got to know what you're dealing with. Is that making sense? Yeah. So God was going to responsibly. But now that they chose to do it on their own, now you got to go figure it out for yourself. So Satan's number one objective is always to influence. Always to influence people to do what he wants them to do. This is the reason why Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So Satan can't have influence over us. That's why Jesus went and fasted 40 days and 40 nights and got to his weakest point. Got to his weakest moment. Then faced the devil. So he could rightfully down the cross. Why? Because he faced the devil in the same situation that Adam and Eve was in. Watch this. It wasn't even fair. Jesus went in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, got hungry, got weak, broke the flesh totally down, faced the devil. So now the devil thinking he facing somebody normal. But what he didn't realize is that Jesus, listen at me, Jesus was totally submitted to the Father. Jesus understood his purpose. In other words, Jesus submitted it nevertheless. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus was totally submitted to the Father. So therefore, when Satan came to his broken down flesh, it still was no match. Satan thought, hey, he weak, he hungry, I'ma tempt him in all these ways. Jesus refused all of them. That's why Jesus was able to die on the cross for us. Because he was able to face Satan lies, face Satan influence at his weakest moment and overcome him. Why? Because he was totally, his will, watch this, he was totally submitted to the will of God. So even in his weakest moment, I hope y'all hearing me, even in his weakest moment, he was able to overcome the will of the devil. Yeah, notice the devil said, I'll give you all the kingdoms. The devil said, oh, you hungry. I know you're hungry. Turn that stone into bread. Go ahead, do it. You hungry? Jesus wouldn't do it. Jesus wouldn't play those games because he was totally submitted to the will of God. Jesus was weak flesh-wise because he didn't eat, had been in the wilderness, but mentally he had been spending time with God. The Bible said he went fasting and praying. And matter of fact, in one version, I think it's Luke, it says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Drove him into the wilderness to go spend time with God. So by Jesus spending time, he set a pattern for us. By spending time with God, spending time with his word, praying and spending time with the Holy Ghost, he was able in his weakest moment to override the will of the devil. He set a precedent. If we are working with God, it is impossible for anybody to stop us. If you are working with God, if you are submitted to God, it is impossible for anybody to stop you. We should always pray for God's will to be established in our wills. And that should be the main objective of all praying. That's a little different because we were taught to pray for what we want. We were taught to pray, if we pray, God to give us what we want. If you pray, God to give you what you need. But the number one objective of all our prayers should be, God, let your will be done. But disciples said, Jesus, Lord, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Other words, God, I'm willing to submit my thoughts to your thoughts. I thought this was going to go one way. I think I ought to do this one way. But God, if I'm not doing it right, come let us reason together. If I'm not doing it right, God, I'm willing to submit my thoughts to yours. Never, when it comes to submitting yourself to the will of God, you can't ever fall for the lie, if it be God's will, let it be done. You will always know God's will. How do you always know God's will? Because His Word gives us His will. So you will never be without the will of God once you, if you stay with the Word of God. You stay with the Word of God, you spend time with the Word of God, you will always know the will of God. There will be not one time where you don't know the will of God and can't access it. But you have to understand that it's going to, only going to happen when you spend time with His Word. See, this is why Bible readings can't be a routine. You got to understand this. Stop seeing the Bible as a story of miracles and see it as a story about you. Talking to you. Enlightening you. Informing you. Empowering you. Equipping you. The Word of God is just not a book of stories of what happened in the past. It is a book that is for this present moment that will give you what to do in this present moment so that your future can be bright. But you cannot read the Word of God as a story. You have to read the Word of God and put yourself there. Every miracle that takes place, try taking a person's names out and put your name there. It's easy. Every giant situation you face, what story you ought to be replacing your name, who name you ought to replace your name with? David. David faced a Goliath. This situation in my life is bigger than me. God, I can't handle this. But you did it for David. God, if you did it for David, you got to do it for me. Are y'all seeing this? Don't ever fall for the lie that if it's God's will, it will happen. No, now you're leaving the devil a chance. Now you're opening the door for the devil. You must be definite. How am I definite? Because I'm in God's Word. I'm not just peeking at the Word. I'm letting it pierce me. I'm letting it penetrate into my spirit. I'm letting it go through every nook and cranny of my thought process. I'm letting the Word of God wash everything in me. I'm submitting myself. I'm allowing the Word of God to hold me accountable. Even if I don't know what to do, I know what to do. How is that? The Bible says you have an unction. The unction is the Holy Spirit. So if I got the Holy Spirit with me, I know what to do even when I don't know what to do. Because it's only a matter of time before I get wisdom. It's only a matter of time before I get wisdom on what to do. And when I get wisdom, I'm going to understand it. So the word understanding means it's different now, right? When I get wisdom, I'm going to take my thought process of what I thought was going to happen, how I thought it was going to happen, and I'm going to make it submit to the wisdom of God. And let what happen, what God wants to happen, happen. Because whatever God wants to happen is a whole lot better than what I wanted to happen. Is that making sense? Just yesterday, I was talking to a gentleman, because the author begins to talk about the sovereignty of God. I began to talk to a gentleman, and a gentleman who, he's going through a situation, and he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, he called his family together, and he said, we're going to walk in love, walk in humility, and walk in grace. And we're going to let God do what he wants to do in this situation. When he said that to me, the Holy Spirit quickly prompted me and said, now my sovereignty can kick in. God's sovereignty cannot do anything until we allow it. Now, what does God see? Most people take God's sovereignty wrong. They take God's sovereignty as God can do what he want, when he want, and how he want. That ain't how God's sovereignty works. That ain't how it works. Because if God's sovereignty works like we want it to work with us having no responsibility, then that means we're no longer free moral agents. That means we're puppets. And no matter what we do, God is going to do what he want to do anyway. God's sovereignty only comes into play when we submit ourselves. When we say, God, we're not going to try to figure this out. God, we're not going to try to work this out. God, I'm going to walk in love. That's powerful. He said we're going to walk in love, we're going to walk in humility, and we're going to walk in grace. Because the situation you're in, people start talking, saying some things. They don't know half the story, they don't know what's going on, but people talk. So he said, He said, we're going to walk in love. Other words, no matter what negative is said towards us, we're not going to use any energy to combat that. Now, why I'm going somewhere now. He said, we're going to walk in humility. Walking in humility simply means that I don't have to go around saying what God is going to do. I can just let it happen. And he said, we're going to walk in grace. Grace is what I like to call quiet empowerment. Quiet empowerment. That's what grace really is. Grace is empowerment. Quiet empowerment. You ain't got to go around talking about it. You ain't got to just walk in it. When you do that, you're taking yourself out of the picture and you're letting God be a father to you, who loves you so much. So now God's sovereignty can kick in. So now his sovereignty come in, and now God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants, because we're out of the way. That's what I'm talking about submitting. That's what I'm talking about understanding. See, when you walk in humility, when you deal with a situation, when you walk in humility, what you're saying is, God is going to fight my battle. I'm not going to fight this battle. God is going to fight. I ain't got to explain nothing to nobody. God is going to fight this for me. But if you're not spending time in the Word, you're not spending time with God, you're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to try to make it happen. You're going to try to get it to happen. You don't have to make it happen or get it to happen. It's already happened. All you got to do is allow it to take place. So when I submit myself to God, then I am empowered. I'm quietly empowered to resist the devil. Other words, when I submit myself to God, nothing Satan says affects me. And nothing nobody else says who Satan is using affects me. Because I'm going to submit myself to God and allow him to do what he wants to do. Last statement. You must always put yourself in a position to bless the Lord. Now, I will bless the Lord at all times. Blessing means empower to prosper, right? We all know that, right? Bless means to empower to prosper. So, if I'm going to bless the Lord, if I'm going to empower the Lord to prosper, that simply means that I must become an empty vessel for God to use. Because the only way God is empowered in the earth realm is through an earthly vessel. So I must submit myself to God so that I can bless the Lord at all times. Blessing the Lord at all times, people think, oh, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm bless the Lord. No, you're just talking. What you doing? is the question. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, what you doing? Are you submitting? Are you really empowering God to prosper? Empowering God to prosper, don't think about money. He don't need that. See, for God to prosper, it's people. For God to prosper, is his kingdom ever expanding in the earth realm? So are you a part of that? See, you can't be a part of that if you're not submitting yourself to God, if you're not submitting your will to God. See, I said this last Sunday. We have to get beyond religion and religiously being Christians. What it means to be religious being Christian? I'm living trying not to sin. That's religious. I'm living trying not to sin. So I go to church on Sunday. I want to hear a message that's going to help me not sin. Because on Monday, I'm not too sure I might sin. On Tuesday, I'm not too sure. The further I get away from Sunday, there's a greater chance I might sin. That's religion. Yes. Apostolic Christians, people that are apostolically trained, people that are wants God divine order in their life, they're coming to church to get direction on how to take territory. I'm submitting myself to God, not so that I won't sin. I'm submitting myself to God because I want his kingdom to be fruitful on earth. Jesus said something that's very powerful in John 15:3. You are clean through the words which I have spoken to you. In other words, Jesus was saying, you are clean because I'm giving you instructions on how to advance the kingdom. People who don't advance the kingdom are more prone to sin. Because you're idle. You're not spending time with God. So if you ain't spending time with God, guess what? Who will going to come in? The will of the devil. So that's what Paul started talking about in Romans 7 chapter. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, what wretched man that I am. But when you spend time with the word, that's why you get to Romans 8. Turn that, we close there. That's when you get to Romans 8 and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in what? Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? But after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. So if I'm free from something, I'm no longer bound by it, then I don't have to live like I'm bound by it.
That's right.
So if I'm free from it, then when I begin to deal with the Word of God, I'm not dealing with the Word of God from a bound position. I'm dealing with the Word of God from a free position, which means I'm free to be who all God called me to be. I'm not dealing with the Word of God from a bound position of I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying not to do this. I've been made free from the law of sin and death, meaning sin no longer has dominion over me unless I give it dominion. How I give it dominion? Not spending time with the word, not spending time with God, peeking at the word. I know people that peek at the word of God. They read the word of God and just can't get it together. That means the word of God is not piercing them. The word of God, they're not allowing the word of God to hold them accountable. So you must submit yourself to God. How I submit myself to God? By yielding my thoughts to him. When I yield my thoughts to him, that simply means I understand. Meaning I'm taking my thoughts and I'm standing down. I'm letting God's thoughts be superior. I'm not going to take my thoughts and override God's thoughts. Because when I override God's thoughts, Satan is sitting there waiting for me to override God's thoughts. Then he's going to start messing with me. And I am not mentally matched to, I can't go tit for tat with the devil mentally without the Holy Spirit. See, please understand this. That's why the Bible says renew your mind with the word of God, because on your own, you don't have the mental fortitude or capacity to deal with the devil, word for word. You don't have it. That's why the Bible says, renew your mind with the word of God so that you may be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll see y'all week after next. I'm going to email you all. Those that watch by internet, I'm going to email you all, let you know what our exam is going to be on. Of course, it's going to be open book, but I'm going to see which chapter it's going to be on. I need to get in the book and make sure I'm progressing at the speed I want to go. All right? Y'all have a good night.